You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is part of about three chapters of the same theme about worldly wisdom and the wisdom of God. And I'm just going to read verse 14 of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2:14, although I will refer, as you'll see, to a number of the passages around that. But this sums it up, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Let's pray. Lord, one of the most common things we see are people who don't understand the verse I just read, because as the verse itself says, Lord, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. We can't be astounded about it. Lord, it says it right here that they cannot. Believing they can, believing they've even learned more than God is certainly a possibility, but to actually have wisdom and to have understanding is beyond the scope of the fallen mind. And starting there makes us have hope in God. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand and we would always be in praise to you for the grace given to us for any wisdom that we have, which is all from you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Christians are often accused of being antagonistic to the world system, that we say bad things about the world. You remember Micaiah the prophet, the 400 prophets said, you can't say bad things to the king. You got to say good things. And so Christians are always being fussed at by the world. Well, you're so negative about the world. You say all these bad things. You just don't appreciate how smart we are. You know, the world's so smart that not only does it offer solutions, it makes problems where there aren't any. There are all sorts of problems today that we have because the world has created problems. And then they said, we have a solution to that problem that wasn't a problem until we made it a problem. And here's the solution. We mock the world's solutions to every problem. Are you ashamed of yourself? Are you ashamed of your negativity toward the world's wisdom? Well, we sure are sorry, aren't we? We sure feel bad, don't we? And we need to correct the record and say that surely not everything the world does is foolish. But I would say in recent times we've learned that the world has been foolish about race, gender, math, science, biology, meteorology, morality, religion, sociology, psychology, health, freedom, justice, obstetrics, statues, education, marriage, humor, perseverance, toughness, courage, disease, communications, social networking, advertising, defense, integrity, government, philosophy, climate, decency, pregnancy, parents, children, mercy, compassion, age, media, news, books, fairness, welfare, environmentalism, energy, astronomy, origins, truth, sports, economy, comedy, movies, awards, enlightenment, and even love. Other than that, and actually, I've been working on this list for several days, and I would get to the end of where I thought I'd thought of everything, and I'd think up five in the shower. and have to come back and update. The reason we have such a negative opinion about the world's wisdom is because it messes everything up. It has no solutions at all. And if a solution is stumbled upon of a temporary nature, well, it won't be long before someone messes that up. If something's working, the first thing you think about is we've got to mess that up. You know, back in the 70s, I think the Bell system, everything's working. We could pick up our phones. Everything worked. And somebody got together and said, well, we can't let that work anymore. They've got to mess that up, and they did. If it's working, we got to break it. Once we break it, we'll tell you how to fix it. See, this is the way the world is. And the only thing I'm sorry about is that I couldn't give a more exhaustive list. But it doesn't matter what I think or what we think. 1 Corinthians 3:20 says, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. The Lord says that. You're so negative. The Lord says that the reasonings of the wise are useless. And of course, by wise there, he means the worldly wise. That people sit down and they figure stuff out and they make a solution and they write it down and they pass legislation and they write books and they teach classes, and the entire thing in the eyes of God is useless. It does not accomplish what it sets out to accomplish. It makes things worse. Now, we've understood, understanding the nature of men is what we're studying now. The benefit of understanding how we are is of supreme importance, next to our understanding of God. Because when you understand what we are, we know what to do about it. And when we don't know and understand from God what a human being has in the way of ability, until we know that, we tend to try to figure things out by ourselves. It's good to know before you go to Rome to see the Pope and get some kind of a benefit from it eternally, which is something Catholics have taught. It's good to know before you go through all that trouble that it's not going to do a bit of good. The world needs to know that everything the world has thought of to fix the problems that we face as sinners and the consequences of being in sin, every one of those is, in the eyes of God, useless. They will not accomplish. Aren't there a few things? Nothing. And all the tools and all the technology and all the whiz-bang fancy stuff, it's completely useless to give us meaning and purpose and overcome man's problems. Man is totally incapable of escaping the consequences of sin and alienation from God. We're wholly evil, completely impotent. On top of everything else, we'll look today that we're foolish. This is also called total depravity in Calvinistic terms, Reformed theology. We do not have one little cell of righteousness or ability to be righteous as a fallen man. If you start there, there's only one place to go. If you don't start there, you've got a zillion places to go, and none of them will work. Let's look first of all at the wisdom of the world. Now, what Paul talks about in the first few chapters here of 1 Corinthians is worldly wisdom and God's wisdom. And the Corinthians, the worst church in the epistles, the most carnal, they thought they were the sophisticated church. They were enamored with this whole aspect of wisdom and what all these philosophy teachers were talking about. Oh, this guy. Oh, and they had all different opinions about it's psychology. Psychology is today foisted upon society as the answer to human behavior problems. Let me read that verse again, 1 Corinthians 3:20. The Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. Psychology will make you sick when you're not sick going in. And if you are sick, psychology can't do anything about it to get you better. It cannot, through all its fancy machinations, arrive at even the problem. It'll talk about what happened when you were 3 years old and what your parents did and what people did to you and how you developed neuroses and how these things work out, and they might hypnotize you and they might give you some drugs and all, and it all sounds very fancy, and psychologists are among the most respected in our society, but it's all worthless in fixing human behavior. It cannot help. It cannot fix that problem. Now, the Bible says, if you go back to verse chapter 1 and verse 22, Paul says, "For indeed Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom." But he says, "We preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness." Well, right there you have it in those two verses where Paul says what we do is not what the world seeks. We give what the world does not seek. The Jews seek for signs. That means that the Jews, before they believe, want to see signs so they can believe. The funny part about that is the Jews got all kinds of signs from Jesus, and at the end of it all, they still didn't believe. The Greeks, Paul says, search for wisdom. Well, whereas the Jews look for signs to believe, the Greeks look for a good philosophy to convince them that this is the way they should follow. But Paul says we don't do either one of those. What we do is preach Christ. Jews don't like it. Greeks don't like it. But it is the power of God. Verse 24 of chapter 1. "But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So the world's not even looking for that which is the answer, which they say is the answer. But it cannot be. And so that is why the Corinthians were the most divided church, because they had groups of philosophers in the church. "Oh, I follow this guy, I follow that guy, we follow these other guys." And so they all had different foundations of belief. People they respected. One group followed Dean Martin. Another group, Don Rickles. Another group, Bob Hope. Another, Bing Crosby. So they get together and they fuss. About what? What the words of men are. And it was folly, because they followed men. They had a misplaced confidence in worldly wisdom. You know, it's reported that Martin Luther, when he was still a practicing, very zealous Catholic, Roman Catholic, was kissing the steps in Rome, because every step you kissed in Rome was supposed to get you out of purgatory. Less time in purgatory and give you merit. See, he was in the middle of that kissing steps when he stood up and said, "What am I doing?" And it finally came to him, and it This is stupid. Not everybody gets there to see the foolishness of the world. The world's wisdom does not lead us to the knowledge of God. Look, still in chapter 1, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The wisdom of the world does not lead a person to God. The wisdom of the world leads a person to cope without God and to be deceived into thinking that they had figured a way out of their problem. All in human thinking. And the whole point of being wise is to be in favor with God. You can't be wise if the Creator and the Lord of heaven you're alienated from. How smart is that? Sinners are not really smart or sophisticated or clever. The whole book of Proverbs calls them fools. There's this big thing. I know back in the 60s, it was a big thing to go visit the Maharishi in India or somewhere. Because the Maharishi in India or Tibet or wherever he was, he had the secret to life. John Lennon of the Beatles actually said one time that the reason he hung around the Maharishi was because he hoped he would clue him in on the secret to everything one day. He doesn't have any secret. All the secrets come from God. And the world's wisdom ignores the fact that every day we see right in front of our faces the handiwork of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Every day we see all this. And what do you have? People running over to Rome to kiss steps. Running over to India to listen to the Maharishi. And they can't see right in front of us the glory of God. Showing the glory of God. The heavens and the firmament. And creation, we're told in that verse, speaks day and night in every place on earth. You wonder why you can't sleep sometimes? Because the creation is shouting all the time, day and night, about the glory of God in creation. And so after all that shouting, after all that display, after all that wonder, what does the world do with its wisdom? It concludes that evolution is a scientific fact. Probably 90-95% or more of the schools, little young people being taught today that evolution is a scientific fact when it's complete folly and impossible. But the world is very proud of its wisdom. California has for a number of years now been banning burning, controlled burns in forests in order to save endangered species, lizards, frogs, flies, whatever. So they don't let you burn off the underbrush, which then enables forest fires to trigger more and go farther. And so after they disallow you to burn off the underbrush to keep a fire from blazing, to save the lizard, well, a forest fire starts and burns all the lizards up. That's the wisdom of the world. And the world has no ability these days to say no to insanity. Your child comes to you these days and says, I'm a turtle. Mommy, I'm a turtle. Daddy, I'm a turtle. What do parents do today? Oh, Well, I got to go talk to the teacher for one. I got to make sure the teacher addresses my child properly as a turtle. We got to find some shell for our child. I'm not going to have my little girl who's a turtle go out into the world without a shell around and some place to poke her head out. So we got to fix that up. We need to start talking to congressmen about what are we going to do to make turtles in our society feel more at home and less offended. After a while, you got books by psychologists about living with your child who is a turtle. Or there's the other way, where a parent says, no, you're not a turtle. The world doesn't ever say that. The world doesn't say a man comes and says, I feel like I'm a woman. The church, the world never says, no, you're not a woman. You're a man. Well, they start going through, well, how do we get them in the Olympics? How do we get them to be addressed with the proper pronouns? And on and on. And instead of saying no and saying what's right, they make a big problem because they can't say no and face logic and facts. Because the core philosophy of the world right now is that you can't know truth. You can't know. You can't tell this person that's got a mental defect. You can't tell them they've got a mental defect because we just can't tell people that now because of postmodernism. So that's the wisdom of the world. It doesn't inspire confidence. Well, but then what about the wisdom of God? Romans 16:27, we sang it already, says God alone is wise. To the only wise God. This is what Paul closes the book of Romans with. To the only wise God. So you got the Lord who is proclaimed by Scripture is the only wise God. There's no other wisdom defined in the world except that which is the wisdom of God. So when Paul's talking here about the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, he's saying there's only that one wisdom. You got a lot of different wisdoms in the world. But you've only got really one wisdom, and that is whatever God says is wisdom. All that God does is good. God has all knowledge, and God takes all the knowledge that he has and he applies it to all of his works. All of his acts are done in wisdom. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom means taking the facts and applying them in a proper way, in righteousness and holiness and what is actually what we're made for. You know what to do. If you threw a bunch of car parts in my garage, enough to make a Dodge Charger, you threw them right there in my garage. There it is. What am I going to do with that? I don't have the wisdom to take all those parts and put them together and make a Dodge Charger out of that. Nor does the world have the wisdom to take all the parts of the world and put it together in its own mind and make a proper human being. Our Lord Jesus is the supreme model of that. And only God has that wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and also understanding. Went to school and we had up on the classroom, there were all these letters up there on above the board. A, B, C, D, E. What is that? We come in the first grade. You know, nowadays you come in the first grade, you've been in school 15 years. But then, we went to the first grade, that was the first thing. What was that? Well, A, B, C, what is that? And we had the alphabet, and we had the teacher, and we trusted the teacher, Miss Cobb, for me, to tell us how to put those things together. And we learn how to read in the first grade. And so only God and following God puts all those pieces together, how he's made us to be, which sin has marred. If a person doesn't know God, he can never be wise. He can never live in wisdom. No matter how many degrees he has, no matter what his IQ is. Man does not have the capacity to properly interpret knowledge. You give men knowledge, sinners knowledge, they just misconstrue it to some end of their own. All the miracles of Jesus, right over their head. All the failures of human wisdom throughout history, right over our heads. We're within our own lifetimes about the foolishness and awful way of communism and socialism. So what do people in Washington want to do? Communism and socialism, of course. Why? Because they're stupid. And you can't get that through people. The gospel is the solution. The gospel is the wisdom of God. Back in chapter 1, again, I read it already, verse 21, God, the latter part, God was well pleased with the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The foolishness of the message preached is foolishness to the world. What's the solution to our problems? What about this crime and all these other things I mentioned that they can't deal with? What is the solution? Well, you have to trust Christ and be saved and have a new heart. That's foolishness. That's too simple. Simplistic doesn't work. Of course, it works every time. What doesn't work every time is everything I said they can't get right. And so Paul says the gospel is the wisdom of God. The message is the wisdom of God to make us wise. So if you want to start being wise, you don't start by education. If you want to be wise, you start with God. Sure, you can learn how to do math. Although that's even been messed up now. You can't even say 2 times 2 is 4 anymore about it being racist. This can't do anything right in the world. But you want to be wise, you know God. You get to God. You know the wisdom of God. Paul came, he told, said in verse 17 of chapter 1, to preach the gospel of Christ, not in the cleverness of human speech, so that their faith would stand in the power of God, which it says in chapter 2, verse 5. So that your faith would stand not in sweet speech the world approves of, the wisdom of men, but the power of God. When God saves us, and we can make it as clear, we pray for preachers to make it as clear as we can make it. But Paul says, I didn't come to try to be like these philosophers you idolize here in Corinth. I just came to preach the simple message of the gospel. And if you take that, if you accept that, that is evidence of the power of God has changed you. You know there are people you talk to who are into very foolish things, and they won't get out of it. Why? Because they don't know God. They don't. Makes perfect sense to them. Jesus even preached sometimes to scare people away if they were clinging to human wisdom. Some preachers say, you know, if you'll come to the Lord, you'll get thin, your hair will grow back, you'll be healthy, have a lot of money, and get a new iPhone. And then people, I gotta come. That's deceptive preaching. You just preach Christ. That's all Paul did. And the gospel then is God's wisdom. Verse 6 of chapter 2, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, wisdom's not the problem. It's the worldly wisdom that's not wisdom. That's the problem. And we can't communicate certain things to children. I always joke with children, when's the War of 1812 fought? Once they get past that, we can get to more stuff. Well, those who do not receive the wisdom of God in the gospel are still babies. They've not even really spiritually found out what planet they're on yet. The wisdom of God is totally missed by our rulers. And you know, God's saying that, what's said here in Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, God is canceled, can't get on Twitter. Paul can't get on Twitter or Facebook because, you know, this is not what the world wants to hear. The world doesn't want to hear that it's bad. The world wants to hear how good it is. The rulers don't get this. They're supposed to be the ones who lead us. The rulers don't get it. And they're passing away in their crazy ideas too. They even killed the Lord, as verse 8 says, I read. If they'd have had wisdom, they wouldn't have done that. Their philosophy that day was to kill Jesus and go on with worshiping God, serving God. How foolish. It says there also God's wisdom is a mystery that's revealed by the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's hidden. And only God can make it to be revealed. It's not a mystery in that it's a puzzle. It's a mystery in the fact that it's hidden. We don't get it naturally. And God doesn't owe it to us to give it to us. Not everybody in the world gets the gospel. But by the grace of God, He reveals it, and by His grace, it is received. Otherwise, as our text says, no man can understand the things of God unless they're revealed by God. Verse 9 of chapter 2, things which have that eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. In our text, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. We're not the problem. The church. The problem is sin, blinding the minds of those who do not believe. Well, last thing, what to do if you're dumb? First, get over the offense of being called dumb. Own it. Every person who becomes a Christian owns the fact that they're dumb. They're foolish. They're outside of God. They don't have wisdom built inside them. Well, they all spilled out in the Garden of Eden. An Arab proverb that MacArthur notes in his commentary says this: he who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. But he who knows not and knows that he knows not is simple. Teach him. We have to know that we know not. Today, if you call a person dumb, pressure is put on you to affirm them. It's like a man is drowning. I'm drowning. I affirm that you're drowning. Yes, I agree that you're drowning. I accept your person as a drowning person. Well, no. What do? You rescue them. People are being affirmed all the way to hell today. Things that you don't need to be affirmed in. The whole point of repentance is to disaffirm yourself from the things the world wants you to affirm. The biblical way of getting over being called dumb is not to make the whole world change and respect you as a dumb person, but to stop being dumb and come to Christ and wisdom from God. The next thing is, don't follow others off the cliff. One thing that Paul points out in chapter 1 is how few people there are who actually are of the high, lofty branch of our society that come to know the Lord. The Lord doesn't call many of those people. Where's the wise man of this age? Chapter 1, verse 20. Paul says, where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? In verse 23 of chapter 1, we preach Christ crucified, the Jews a stumbling block, the Gentiles foolishness, but to us it is the power of God, because God's foolishness is wiser than men. Not that God is ever foolish. Verse 26, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Things of the world that are despised, God has chosen. The things which are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. It's all God. The whole point of showing the depravity of man is to make us run to God. The whole point here is to get us over ourselves, which the world has a terrible time doing. Maybe a little bit too personal and still a bit painful to think of. When I had that stupid catheter in me for a week, and that nurse told me that I'd better drink water, well, they'd have to stick that thing right back in. I almost drowned myself drinking water. That's how motivated I was. Person's saying, I'm tired of messing up my life and the life of those I love, and says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. What does the Bible say God will do? Well, chapter 1, verse 31 says he'll be able to boast in the Lord. Let him who boast in the Lord. And it'll enable you to know the things freely given to us by God, chapter 2, verse 12, which you do not know as a natural man. And it will give you the mind of Christ. One of the greatest things mentioned there in verse 16, chapter 2. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. He will instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. There's a man right now or a woman who is the smartest person on earth. The smartest person on earth. Chances are God calls them foolish because they don't know him. They may, but the chances are they don't. And what is the measure of our intelligence? Those who know the Lord are smarter than any brainiac, sophisticated, worldly wise man in existence. Because if you don't know the Lord, you are not smart. To overcome being dumb, you run to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, it could be that we just stay dumb, stay foolish, stay alienated. But Lord, you have in your mercy said, no, you don't have to be. You come and you get a new heart and a new mind, and you're mind then is the mind of Christ, and now you see and understand what you cannot understand without that. We are eaten alive today by people who are foolish, who continue to be foolish, who are proud of being foolish, who double down on being foolish because they're foolish and blind. But Lord, we thank you for the enlightenment and the wisdom we have from you in Christ. In Jesus' name.